The Orange FM.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who needs a little help turning on his emotion inhibitor, Adam Farmer.
Well played. I am a very emotional person, and every once in a while I think I could benefit from an emotional inhibitor, but I refuse to let anybody turn it on, because if you turn it on, I will die.
Is that what they called it? Emotion?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I got that right.
No, you nailed it.
Sweet.
The inhibitor switch.
We have come to it, Adam. We have come to the very final episode of Doctor Who.
It's over!
The two-part finale is now over. We're going to talk about it. We'll see what we thought about it. And I don't think we really have anything else to talk about.
No, I mean, we do have the Christmas special coming up. Christmas Day is when it's going to be hitting the screen. There's a few things sneaking out about it. Nothing that's earth shattering, nothing that's worth really spending the time talking about it. We have a massive show to talk about. The second episode of the two-part finale. A lot of stuff happened. The one thing that I do want to throw out there about the Christmas special, and this kind of comes into kind of how this episode of Doctor Who ended, is that unlike past seasons, it looks like it might not be a standalone. It looks like it might be a carryover from this season that we've just completed, which is slightly unusual. Usually it's a standalone episode that really doesn't tie into the storyline anyway. This one looks like it might actually tie in.
The Christmas special?
That's correct.
Okay. I'll be curious to see why you think that, but we can get to that after we talk about this, the episode Death in Heaven.
Let's do it.
The final episode of Doctor Who for Series 8, the season finale for Peter Capaldi. It is, let's see, Season 8, Episode 12, and it was written by who else? Stephen Moffat, like he was going to let anybody else write this, and directed by Rachel Talalay. So, yeah, man, like you said, a lot happened in this episode. A lot that I thought was good. A lot that I thought was, weird, I guess maybe might be a good word for it. But there were some things that I was pretty happy about. But the episode kind of starts out with an interesting thing. I'd really like to hear your take on this, because I was starting to go down a route that I thought could be very interesting. But the whole idea that at the very beginning of the episode, Clara, in an attempt to save herself from the Cybermen, tells the Cybermen that she is the Doctor. I started to think about it, and I was like, wait, that would have actually been a pretty good twist.
At that point in time, while you were watching the episode, did you think it was anything other than Clara trying to save her own skin? Like, completely honest, did you think it was anything other than that?
There was a moment that I really got my hopes up and thought, oh my gosh, they totally have fooled us. This is like the next incarnation of the Doctor, and he has come back, you know, he has come back in time and, you know, just been using this cover, you know, as as Clara. And it kind of would have explained a lot of things, you know, about how mysterious she is and how she shows up in so many different places. And I was like, wow, they really like just blew me away. There was that moment, but it didn't last very long.
I have to admit, if that is how it played out, I would have been surprised. I would have been floored. They've done quite a bit of explaining about her time stream here and there and everywhere, especially with the doctor's name, where she jumps into the time stream and then we see her showing up in random places, helping the doctor out, saving the doctor's skin at that point in time. So it would have been surprising to then find out that she was the doctor herself. They did an incredible job with that scene, teasing it, leading into the two-part season finale, that really, when that showed up in the episode, you did start to wonder. But given in context, I never took it for what it's worth. There was that brief moment, like that brief split second when she first did it, that I kind of felt the same way as you did, where it's like, oh my word, have they played us this entire time? I'm kind of glad they didn't go that route, though. That would have been first part of the season finale, find out the master is now a female incarnation of the doctor. It would have felt kind of, it wouldn't have had that big of an impact if we would have found out that, oh, okay, now the doctor is a female too. It would have just been like a playing off of the same thing. I'm glad that they kind of stuck with their guns on that one.
I think the way they could have spun it is, let's say maybe this was the doctor from, maybe it's not the next incarnation of the doctor, but maybe it's a doctor from, you know, well into the future. So they say, okay, for whatever reason, he came back. He was kind of going under the guise of Clara Oswald. And then, you know, at this point, he decides to leave. So, I don't know. It, not that I would have wanted Clara to necessarily be the doctor, you know, that we would watch as the doctor for an entire, you know, season or two seasons. But just have kind of the idea that, okay, we've been watching this person that we thought was a companion the whole time, and it was actually the doctor. Like, the doctor's been traveling with the doctor, and kind of just blow your mind, and then just have her go off and, you know, make it so far into the future that we'll never actually get to the point where she's the doctor in the main series. But yeah, you're right. All it took was a couple minutes of actually thinking rationally about it and realizing, okay, they definitely wouldn't have done that. But there was just that moment of my mind being slightly blown of the possibilities.
Did you appreciate the facts that she was throwing out as she was trying to prove her case that she was the doctor?
Yeah, they did a good job with that too, because, you know, she was talking so fast and she was throwing out facts about the doctor's life, and you're thinking, huh, that's not typical Clara. You know, she doesn't usually act like this. It was kind of like when Dr. Donna, remember Dr. Donna?
Yeah.
You know, Donna was just kind of, you know, just rattling off stuff, and you were like, wow, that's not something Donna can typically do. So yeah, that was good too.
It kind of gives you an indication of like the relationship she shared with the doctor. I mean, saying things like, I've had four wives, they're all dead. I have a non-Gallifreyan daughter who is a genetic transfer. Just like these random facts that, as a Doctor Who fan, sure, you know these because you've watched the episodes, but kind of just thinking of a companion that's come along, she must have had quite a few long talks with Matt Smith, Matt Smith's doctor, about everything, because there was a lot of information just dropped in passing. Like you said, as she's just like plowing through the thought or through the facts, no emotion whatsoever, just laying them out there. Pretty amazing just to have her list everything about the doctor that way.
One cool thing about this episode, I thought, was they brought back the characters from the 50th anniversary special.
Yeah, Unit was back.
So we get to see Kate again. We get to see Osgood.
Yes.
Which I actually really appreciated. I thought both of those were very strong characters in the 50th, and it was kind of cool to see that they weren't afraid to bring in, you know, these characters or actors that have, you know, that shared screen time with Smith and Tennant. And Hurt, and now they're sharing screen time with, you know, a fourth doctor. So they have had interaction with four different doctors in less than a season.
In less than three episodes.
Yeah. So, but I really like Kate a lot as a character.
I like Kate. I like Osgood. I enjoyed them in the 50th. When I heard or saw that they were going to be showing up in the finale, I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to seeing how they interacted with Capaldi's doctor. And it was kind of funny because as soon as Kate shows up, she doesn't really acknowledge that much has changed other than, hey, you got a haircut. And that's like, that's all she mentions to the new doctor that she's never come across before. This is a new incarnation for her. And she just kind of like blows past it. But yeah, really enjoyed the characters. I like them. I don't see any problem with if UNIT were to show up a few more times. A little bit better than the our 18th century gang with Vastra and Jenny and Strax.
Yes.
They can kind of, the UNIT can be the new gang. We don't need to go back to Vastra, Strax, and Jenny.
I agree. I would take these characters over them any day. But now that those two characters that they have added to the roster for Doctor Who, one of them has already gone. Which I know we're kind of jumping around, but that's fine. But yeah, what did you think about Osgood? You know, the probably the nicest character on screen, and they just, well, maybe other than Danny Pink, but we'll talk about how he met his end as well. But
no, right? The body count of this episode.
I think
is
I
enormous.
Tweeted it. I said, very bad things are happening to very nice characters. You know, I think it was kind of heart wrenching. But yeah,
good Osgood people always finish last.
Has that scene with the master or the mistress, where she basically the master pretty much unceremoniously kills her. She didn't have a good ending. Did that kind of shock you that they went there? You know, they bring this character back. Which could have easily been a very interesting recurring character. And then they just readily killed her off. Did they do that just kind of to show that this mistress was for real?
Oh, most definitely. Watching the extra for this episode, Stephen Moffat comes right out and says that they needed to decide on one character to use to show that Missy was just a maniac. She was off her rocker. She was nuts. And she was legit. She was going to do whatever was required. And it just so happened that Osgood fell into that position. But watching through the episode and getting to that point, and that whole sequence of like, I have a secret, I'm going to kill you. And like, that was creepy in and of itself. I was on that's one big thing about the second part of the finale is Missy. Michelle Gomez did a really good job with Missy making it just downright creepy. I felt not good watching her in a good way. Like she played the part really well. But when we get to that part with her and Osgood, as soon as she grabs Osgood and vaporizes her, all I could think of was fans around the globe just all crying out in unison at that point in time. It's like from Star Wars where Obi-Wan Kenobi says that he's just heard like the voices of millions of people from Alderaan just screaming out. Like that's what I imagined, because she was just being in one episode other than this one. She was a fan favorite. People liked her. Osgood was a solid character. And the doctor even said like, any place in time and space, basically inviting her to be the next companion or being a companion. And then just to have it like end like that, my heart was crushed at that point. It was just a sad, sad scene.
Well, Osgood in a way is playing the part of the fans, you know?
Yes.
She's the definitely. Doctor Who super fan.
And she's rocking a bow tie, and she even drops a bow ties are cool.
Yeah, and I know in the 50th anniversary she was wearing the scarf, and so now she's upgraded to the bow tie. You know, she is the super fan of Doctor Who. She is playing the part of us. You know, she is us in the show. So to see her just killed like that, it's like, oh, you know, like it was almost like losing our own lives. But yeah, that was shocking to me. I was very surprised they would have gone there and taken away that type of a fan favorite character.
And then when Missy steps on the glasses, and it was just
oh,
like,
yeah, I know. It was like insult to injury.
Yeah. It's like she's gone, but no, I just crushed her glasses. She is really gone.
And it wasn't like a, okay, you know, maybe she's dead. Maybe they'll revive her or something. Like, I mean, she basically disintegrated her into dust.
Yeah.
You know, there is no chance that we will see this character again unless it's time travel.
And the Nether Sphere is already gone, so.
Yeah, so yeah, it was sad. But I, you know, kind of what you were saying about Missy and her being, you know, disturbingly crazy, that was what I kind of wanted to see from the character that was going to be the master or the replacement of the master. And that's what I felt like was missing in the first part of this. She seemed too competent, too in control of herself. And I was used to seeing John Sims' version of the master, you know, when he came up against David Tennant, and he was just off his rocker, you know?
Yeah.
And she, at this point, I think has kind of been like, all right, she was putting on this facade that she was in control, but really she is crazy. She's bananas, as she said.
Yeah.
And I like that. It was really starting to be like, okay, you know, I know last episode I was talking about how I had issues with, you know, her version of the master, but I was starting to come around and be like, you know what? I could see this, you know, she's kind of playing it the way I was more wanting to see.
Yeah, she was definitely all over the place. Like you said, with the previous incarnation of the master, we got someone who was really arrogant, all over the place, and just had moments of just absolute craziness. Missy, we saw portions of it in the first part of the finale when she's acting like the robot, and she says, Dr. Chang! And it's like, that was completely out of character at that point in time. But then that was actually her real self sneaking through, because this entire episode, the second part of the finale, she was just all over the place, nonstop. And it was really hard to track, but for the character, it worked really well. It kept you on your toes. It kept you off balance, which is exactly what that character needed to be.
Right. Yeah, so the Cybermen, they, you know, obviously play a huge part in this episode, but they are kind of the part of the episode that I didn't necessarily like. And it wasn't just the fact that they were in the episode, but it was kind of the mechanics of the story that really I started to get hung up on. This idea that, you know, they leave the cathedral, they fly up into the air, which is this the first time we've seen Cybermen fly?
Yeah, they fly now, which completely threw Unit off its feet, which is another solid scene where Kate walks up. They're like, you can't stop us. And she's like, you forget. Here's something you left behind before when you tried. And she chucks the Cyberman head on the ground.
That
solid
was great.
Scene.
That
and
was
then
great.
They take off flying, and they're like, and Unit has no idea what's going on because they've never flown like this. And they fly like Iron Man.
Right. But I guess the explanation was, okay, so the Cybermen, they fly up into the sky. They figure out there's 91 Cybermen.
Yeah.
Which is like one for every major city.
Yeah, one for significant population densities in the British Isles. Leave it to Osgood to pick up 91.
Right. So was that just like, okay, there was a group of them there, the 91 that were in England, but there was more elsewhere in the world?
Yeah, they kind of hint that what was happening in England was just a, or what was happening in the UK was just a smaller portion of a larger scale. So it was happening all over the world.
Okay, so that you have one Cyberman for each large population area in England, and it flies up into the sky and then explodes itself and turns into a giant cloud, which pours out Cyberman spores. It looks like rain. Right? Am I getting this right?
Yeah, okay. You're dead on. The cyber pollen.
Yeah, I was like, this was the part I didn't like. It just seemed like such a stretch. You know, the rain kind of leaks into the different places and the morgues and the graveyards, and then like suddenly it turns like corpses into full on Cybermen.
Yeah.
And it just was like, wow, that's just. It's just a weird story mechanic, and I had a hard time with it, but I guess they kind of needed to come up with like a cheat like that. You know, how are you going to explain that, you know, they're going to be able to take all the corpses in the entire world and turn them into Cybermen? There has to be some fast, instant way to do it.
Yeah. And I think they had enough going on in this episode, the finale, that it was kind of easy to just let that go by and just be like, okay. But then when you did stop and you thought about what's happening, you did have corpses, organic matter, that rain would hit it, and then all of a sudden it was full-on metal with the corpse inside. Yeah, I would say it was definitely a weak point in the episode, and that was it's something that has me looking. I really wanted to overall love the episode, and there was some great, great stuff within the episode as a whole. But this is one of those things that, looking back on the episode, although it was a fun journey, I just can't get over the fact that, like you said, it felt very much like a cheat. Like, hey, we don't have much time to actually flesh this thing out. What's the simplest way we can do it? Okay, it touches you and boom, full on Cybermen.
I've always had a hard time with the Cybermen, like finding them intimidating. I don't know if you have the same issue, but like every time they've ever shown up at Doctor Who, I rarely have found them to be scary. And even the scene where Clara's in the graveyard and they're doing kind of the almost like a zombie movie type.
You know, they were rocking out to the Monster Mash.
Yeah. And like, you know, they're doing the weird camera angles and like something will flash by, or like a Cyberman hand starts coming out of the gravel and like a Cyberman arm comes over the gravestone. And it just didn't have that. I know they were going for like scary, creepy, but it almost came across comical to me. So I don't know, like, what was your reaction at that scene?
There were definitely some solid moments. Like, when a hand juts up from the ground, I don't care whose hand it is, it will throw you off just a little bit. It was essentially the zombie apocalypse, but with Cybermen. And if it was the zombie apocalypse, it would have been a heck of a lot scarier. But because they were all wrapped in metal and just kind of like wandering around with no idea what was going on, yeah, it kind of lost it for me.
There were zero moments in the episode that the Cybermen were scary. Like, yeah, even at the very beginning, they're in the courtyard of that cathedral and there's people just walking up to them and taking pictures with them. You know, they weren't scary.
Yeah.
And then they flew up into the sky and I was like, okay, maybe that's a little scary. But then, you know, the scene where they're in the graveyard and they're kind of stumbling around, they were not intimidating at any point.
What I was hoping in the graveyard when they started doing like the weird camera angles and things moving incredibly fast, I thought Weeping Angels were back. And I was kind of stoked about that.
I thought about Weeping Angels for a moment and I was like, nah, they're not going to go there. That'd be too much. That'd be like a Spider-Man movie. Too many villains.
too many villains. They just keep multiplying. Yeah. Some show up briefly and then they disappear. There was some discussion leading up to in the off season when it got around to taping of this episode and they showed the graveyard and people were like, oh, this is the same graveyard that you would find Rory and Amy's graves, which I guess doesn't make sense because they're in New York now. And then someone found a miniature Weeping Angel and a cardboard box and all this other stuff. So I had a lot of other random thoughts running through my mind at that point. I thought we were going to see different people, gravestones, different stuff like that. So I was really hoping that a Weeping Angel would show up, especially kind of like what you said. Cybermen were just, they were weak. They were scarier when they were in the mausoleum and they were just skeletons and you were trying to figure out what was going on there. But then as soon as they were just Cybermen, it kind of lost the whole mystique for me.
Very much agree. But one particular Cyberman was a little special to us.
he holds a special place in our heart.
Right. Well, we find out they have the scene where Danny is in the nether sphere and he's with that guy. I can't remember his name now. Kind of the
Seb.
Yeah, Seb.
Who we find out he's just AI and he gets vaporized.
Yeah, he's one of them too.
He gets vaporized after he says squee, which I thought was awesome.
I like the squee. I like the selfie. I like the selfie reference. I did like some of the kind of modern references. I found it funny. Now, if we rewatch these episodes 10 years from now, we'll probably be like, what the heck are they talking about? But for the times, yeah, I did like some of those references. But yeah, so he's talking to him. And explaining to him, hey, you know, we're about to all go back. And he kind of lets him know something that we kind of had already figured out. This isn't really heaven, or this isn't, you know, the afterlife. This is just a big data center.
Yep.
That's holding everyone's consciousness. And now all of the corpses that are being raised or being turned into Cybermen through cyber water are now having everybody that's in this data center is now being uploaded back into their bodies so they can, you know, have minds as Cybermen.
Yeah, whether they want to or not, they're just going to go.
Which I guess that means that little boy was also a Cyberman at one point. Which would have been kind of comical to see what children look like as Cybermen.
That's just wrong.
I'm just saying,
You
see the you see all the different like Cybermen, but like it would have been kind of funny if you see just like a little.
I mean, do we need to start being politically correct with this? Or were there just cyber beings there were cyber women and Cybermen?
Yeah, because
and
if
cyber
it's
children?
If it was everyone that had ever died. That was in those graveyards. It wasn't just men.
And I mean, we had even people from which is kind of, I won't even get started there, but we had other people dying and like they met Seb and Missy and they would have been Cybermen, but we don't care about them, even though we saw them die too. So the random nurse from the Journey Blue episode and the police officer and the android and stuff like that.
Well, you're bringing up a good point now that's making me kind of wonder because the whole first story where the android ends up going to afterlife, was it?
How does that work?
How does that work? Yeah, he wasn't human.
Clockwork robot, Cyberman robot. Thing.
So why would they? How would they have uploaded the consciousness of
a robot conscious?
Huh. Yeah. Anywho. That totally throws me off now. You just opened that can of worms, and I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about it.
That's why we can't think too deep. We have to enjoy what we saw, not think about it.
Okay, so back to Danny. So we get Danny. He's in the morgue, and they make it very clear that it's Danny because they keep showing us that same shot of him holding the paper in his hand, which I thought was kind of funny. They kept, like, I think they showed it like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, they did. And he keeps, like, crumpling it up
a little bit more, just to remind us that it's Danny Pink in there, but
which his name was scrawled in the biggest font and like clearly written on a piece of paper that you could possibly have,
just in case we were wondering.
Yeah,
but yeah, we get Danny Pink as a Cyberman, which was, it was sad, like it was so sad to see him in that state, because has there ever been, other than Osgood, you know, like kind of meeting her end tragically, and she was a completely nice character too. But has there ever been a nicer, more selfless character in all of Doctor Who that you can think of other than Danny Pink?
Not only that, but we had such high hopes.
Like, right, like
we had hopes and dreams for Danny Pink, and just to have him go out in such a, for lack of a better way of putting it, a pathetic way.
It was never a companion.
No, it was depressing.
Yeah, it was. That was very, like, it was. That was one thing I'll say about this episode. It was very emotional.
Yeah.
There was that moment. There was, you know, we'll talk about what happens at the end. But, there's a couple more things that happen after that. But, yeah, like, it was so emotional to see him in that state. And you're thinking, if anyone doesn't deserve this type of a death, it's Danny Pink.
Right.
And, you know, you see him. He takes off the face mask. You see his face, you know, really deformed, kind of disturbingly.
Yeah.
And Clara's, you know, talking to him, and he's wanting her to help him turn on the whole emotion inhibitor and all that. And it was just tragic to watch. And I was thinking, it's like, at this point, I was really starting to think there is no way they're saving him.
Yeah.
There was a point where I thought, okay, maybe they're going to figure out how to get him back into his body. But at this point, I'm like, there's no saving Danny Pink. He's going to die.
Yeah, I was in the same place. I was really hoping after the first half of this the season finale that they're going to get him back. I mean, that's what the Doctor does. He loves Clara. He's going to do whatever he can. But at that point, it was, my hope was crushed. And we all know from Doctor Who what happens when someone doesn't have hope. And Danny Pink definitely didn't have hope at that point.
No. It was very sad. But he kind of had his, I guess, at least he had a little bit more of a noble death than maybe someone like Osgood, where, you know, you have the whole twist where Missy basically tells the Doctor she's been building this army for him.
For him, for his birthday.
For the whole purpose of just proving that they're the same. You know, I guess she's thinking if she gives the Doctor this power, that he is going to prove that he's no better than her.
Which ties almost every episode of this season together. Which they don't try to hide that in any way, because the Doctor has his own flashback of every time he's wondered if he's a good person, if someone else has made some comment about him being a good or a bad person. And it all comes to this, where Missy is trying to convince him that they are the same and the Master is nothing but rotten.
Right. And he gives a little bit of a speech. It wasn't quite on par with, you know, the typical Doctor Who monologues. But he did give a little bit of a speech where he says, you know, I'm not, I forget, I don't know it word for word, but, you know, he says, I'm not good, I'm not whatever, I'm an idiot with a box, and I have them. And he points over at Cyberman Danny, which I'm thinking, you don't have him very long, he's about to die. But, and Clara, who leaves him at the end of the episode, so he doesn't really have them, but I guess he's kind of just saying, in general, I have companions.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it is. He has somebody at some point in time.
They're not special to him. They're basically interchangeable. But
watch out. You know what happens when you say that someone's not special? You end up saving a giant monster and an egg moon.
Yeah. Don't bring that up. But, yeah, so, yeah, the monologue was a little iffy for me. I wasn't as impressed with it as I was with the one in the Flatline episode.
Yeah, Flatline definitely had the better monologue, but the whole I'm an idiot with a box and a screwdriver passing through helping out learning, it's a good summary of what the Doctor is. Now if anybody asks you, give me your 10-second definition of Doctor Who, we have it. I mean, they passed it along to us, just memorize that and you can explain Doctor Who to anybody.
Yeah, but yeah, so through that, you know, the Doctor realizes, you know, she gives him control of this army and he doesn't really know what to do for a little bit, but then he realizes, oh, I'm just gonna give him over to Danny Pink. Yeah.
Because Missy thought she was controlling everybody. And even though Danny has his emotional inhibitor turned on because Clara pulled the trigger because the Doctor didn't want to, which I thought was another interesting scene where Danny, even as a Cyberman, is still ticked off at the Doctor and says, see, Clara, I'm going to prove to you that the Doctor is just as bad as everybody else. And then the Doctor just walks away from him and Clara proves that she's just as bad as anybody else. But anyways, all the other Cybermen are like responding and doing exactly what Missy is telling them to. But promise or love is a promise. And Danny wasn't going to be controlled. And so he ends up becoming the general.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a one of your typical Moffat moments, I like to call them, where even though it defies all logic that he should be able to be able to resist, you know, this hive mind, and he should have been just as susceptible in doing the things that she was saying to do, somehow he was able to overcome that with the power of love or the power of his mind. You know, like that seems to be a typical kind of Moffat thing. You know, like Amy Pond, if she wants to, she can think the entire universe back into existence if she thinks hard enough. You know, if she wants it good, if she wants it bad enough, you know. So that's kind of always bothered me. But for whatever reason, this episode, it didn't really bother me as much. I guess maybe because it was a simple thing. You know, he just had to overcome mind control as opposed to bringing an entire universe back into existence.
Yeah.
So I gave Moffat a pass on this one. But that was definitely a Moffat trope, a writing trope that he typically has done in the series.
Nice word usage. Yeah, I agree. It was very Moffat-esque in what he did there. But like you said,
so did you?
More than willing to give him a pass.
Were you throwing your fist in the air like in triumph? Because I know you like it when Danny Pink, you know, comes through. Like, were you like, yes, Danny Pink is the man. You know, he's able to kind of use his soldier skills and take over this army and kind of, you know, I don't know, selflessly save the day.
Heck yes.
Yes. Yeah, you like that?
Yeah. If there's any monologue that I'm going to say that I loved from this episode, I would say it's Danny's reckoning when he throws his head, his chin in the air, and he screams out to all the Cybermen doing his whole spiel about the dead will save the living and all that other jazz. It was a solid scene. I liked it. And then he launches off into space and blows up.
He does. And yep, and that's the end of Danny Pink.
Yeah.
Did we think that was going to happen?
No.
Do you think, okay, well, we'll talk about, let's get to what really happens to Danny in a few minutes, but he wasn't the only Cyberman, apparently, that was able to resist the control. because we have the other scene where we find out that Kate, you know, who had fallen out of the plane earlier, we kind of skipped that.
Yeah,
but she had fallen out of the plane, and so I'm thinking at that point earlier in the episode, I'm like, they just killed Osgood. They just killed Kate. You know, Osgood got disintegrated. Kate fell out of a plane. Like, two horrible ways to die.
Yeah.
And I was kind of angry at the episode at this point because I'm like, man, they're just killing everybody. but we find out she's still alive. She's laying on the ground, somehow has survived the fall. And we realize that there was another Cyberman that actually caught her and saved her life. And it ended up being her father.
Lethbridge Stewart.
Lethbridge, yeah. So, you know, who is, you know, very prominent in the classic series across, I think, multiple Doctors. I know I've seen at least a couple episodes with him in it, but he, you know, I think for fans of the classic series who have, you know, were really invested in that stuff, probably, I don't know. I'd be curious to see what they think about this. Because to me, it was like, okay, it was nice to bring him back and let him save his daughter, and he gets the salute from the Doctor, but he was a Cyberman. You know, it was kind of weird that it was just a Cyberman and you didn't really see his face.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like, of all the... Missy makes the comment that she's gone back through time and space, through the Doctor's timeline, harvesting minds for the Cybermen. What other people did she have as Cybermen? Like, we could just run the gambit with all companions. I mean, Rory and Amy were Cybermen. That's, they launched themselves into space as well. Well, and so, she harvested the Brigadier.
I think at this point, though, although the spores had, like, kind of started to do their effect, I think it was a very small portion of the dead population that had actually been converted. So I think we can assume that just by sheer percentage or by sheer statistical chance, there probably wasn't too many, you know, I don't think Amy and I wasn't thinking Amy and Rory were up there.
When she said that she had gone through or back through the Doctor's timeline and harvested minds,
I was thinking targeted certain people.
Yeah, I was thinking like, oh goodness, she has like anybody and everybody that she could find, she has them now. They are Cybermen, and that would have rocked my world.
Hmm. Well, I thought the Leftwich,
Lethbridge.
I'm like ticking off the classic fans around.
It's Lethbridge. Byron Leftwich.
Come on, he was one of the most important characters. No. I actually heard him in an audio book with the Eighth Doctor, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess he's in Sarah Jane Adventures as well.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this was a fitting way to bring him back. I know they brought him back with Smith and he was kind of on his deathbed and he called him and everything. I thought that maybe was a better way to kind of say goodbye to that character, but to have him kind of show up as a Cyberman and then fly off after all the other Cybermen had already blown themselves up. So he's this lone Cyberman. It's kind of a sad existence for him, you know. It's like, oh, that poor guy, you know, he's kind of in there, and he obviously was able to overcome the hive mind, so I don't think the emotional, you know, dampener was working on him.
You know who he is?
Handles?
Handles?
No. That would be funny if they tied that in somehow, that he flies off, you know, time passes, and then he ends up being the Cyberman that confronts the 11th Doctor at his end and is Handles.
That's the only thing like I could think of, because I had the same thought. It's like all the other Cybermen just flew off and blew up, and now you get a salute from the Doctor and you fly off. What are you doing after that? Like,
yeah, where's he
not
going?
Like you could just like assimilate back into society and be like, hey, I'm gonna start serving you coffee. Like, he's a Cyberman.
I almost felt like maybe he just flew off and then did the whole self-destruct too, just to kind of be like, all right, I would rather not live in this body, you know,
yeah.
I'm done. I think Danny was probably there too. You know, I don't think he would have wanted to continue to live in his current state.
No.
But yeah, a couple big things happen after this.
Yeah, believe it or not.
You kind of think the episode's ending and then they give us an extra 15 minutes. But you have the scene where Danny, I guess Claire is in her bed And there's this weird thing happens, and all of a sudden she's able to talk through something, and she can talk to Danny. And she's like, oh, the doctor. And this is kind of another story element that I was just like, okay, very convenient. But apparently, was it the wristband thing?
Yeah, so okay. Missy chucked the doctor the wristband that she was wearing, the teleporter and all that stuff. Then the doctor chucked it to Danny so he could control the army. And when Danny flew off into space to blow up, he had it on his arm.
Right. So when he blew up, I guess that wasn't necessarily his death because his mind was still... man, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he ended up...
Did they go back to the nether sphere?
That's what I'm wondering. So we get a scene earlier in the episode where Missy is in the nether sphere, but Missy isn't dead. So that bracelet is probably what allows her to go back and forth between the nether sphere and our world. And I'm wondering if, for some reason or another, Danny dies and gets sucked back into the nether sphere, and he just so happens to carry the bracelet with him. I'm not sure, yeah, but that's the only way I can make sense.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, he blew up, but somehow I get the whole idea that maybe his consciousness could have been just transferred back. But yeah. Then how does he still have the bracelet? So, yeah, right. It doesn't necessarily make sense. But it's a nice emotional moment because Danny gets to prove once again he's completely selfless.
He's the best person to ever walk the face of the earth.
Yeah. He probably walks on water. But he literally has this opportunity where he can bring himself back to Clara. And Clara's like, what are you waiting for? You know, come on. And then he says, it's one, you know, one time for one person. And then you see the form of the little boy that he had killed, and it all comes around. The boy comes out of the, you know, whatever place that he's at, and then he tells Clara to help the boy find his family. So he chooses to let himself, you know, stay dead and to let this boy live his life.
Yeah. The poor boy who's probably an orphan is now going to get turned over to the government.
Right, yeah. He'll live in an orphanage in whatever country that Danny...
But that's okay, because Danny made Clara do it, so Danny doesn't have to worry about it. It's all up to Clara to figure out what to do with the poor 13-year-old boy that just ended up in her bedroom.
Yeah, she thought she was getting her boyfriend back, and instead she got this extra hardship. Thanks a lot, Danny.
I'm sorry to completely ruin the emotional moment, but I was just wondering, like, what is she supposed to do with the 12-year-old kid? Seriously, like, she's going to fly him back somewhere and just randomly find his parents?
Yeah. Yeah, that was... I mean, but, you know, they're trying to establish, if they haven't already a million times, that Danny is just a completely selfless being. And even in the end, when he has a chance to make a decision to bring himself back and be with the woman that he loves, he decides still to be selfless.
Yeah, so. I mean, he has a good heart, but goodness, P.E., think about it. I know.
So we have that. But then we have the scene, I think, that is even maybe a little bit more interesting, where the doctor and Clara, you know, meet at like a restaurant and kind of saying their goodbyes, but they're still lying to each other.
Yeah.
Which is funny because Clara does say at one point in the episode when she's, you know, we're rewinding a little bit here, but she's talking to Danny as he's a Cyberman. And she says, the one man that I would never lie to, who she was referring to the doctor, to the doctor. And she's been lying to him all season.
Yeah.
And then she even lies to him at the end. You know, yeah, he thinks Danny's still alive. He has no idea. He thinks Danny came back. And so she lets him believe that. And then she thinks that Missy, when she gave the doctor the coordinates to Gallifrey, that the doctor actually went and found Gallifrey. And so they're both lying to each other, like, yeah, everything's good. But really, they're both pretty heartbroken.
Yeah.
So I thought that was good. It was a very interesting scene, and it completely fits both of those characters. You know, they've been, you know, Claire's been lying to the doctor all season, so why would she change at the end? Do you think that that's the end for Clara, or are we going to see her again?
I think it's the beginning of the end. I think we will see her, just from spoilers. from some of the stuff that I've read
for the Christmas special.
For the Christmas special. I think we do get to see her again, but although they haven't gone as far as to say like it is the end, they've left it pretty open. I get the feeling that although we're seeing her again, it's the beginning of the end. I don't know. It just feels like her story is coming to a close. We've kind of got that same feeling with Amy and Rory as we were kind of getting to the end of everything. And we saw their own story, just them not really feeling up for going anymore. I think Claire has just had enough. And I really liked the ending of this episode where you do see Claire lying to the doctor, but then you also see the doctor at the end of it. Although we've had mean and grouchy doctor throughout different episodes, and we've seen hints of Matt Smith's doctor and the care that he actually had for Clara, in the end we see that doctor again where he's willing to just suck it up and lie just because he knows that Clara, she really did have Danny, that's where she would be happiest. That's where she would have the best life. And when Clara asks if they can break one rule and hug, and they hug, and the doctor says that he hates hugs because it's just a way to hide your face. It was one of those moments. And even Amber at that point, my wife, made the comment that that is the saddest face that she's ever seen the doctor have, because Capaldi's face was just miserable at that point in time. Yeah, I really liked how it ended, even with him jumping back in the TARDIS and Clara just kind of standing there as it disappears.
Yeah, I liked how Clara told him, you know, that by traveling with him made her feel really special. And then he said, what was his reply? What did he say? It was kind of funny.
I don't know.
Like, I feel the same or something like that. Like, he didn't say anything back like, oh, you were special, or like give her any kind of like a nice line at the end. Like, you meant so much to me, Clara. It was just like, yeah, same here. You know? Which is perfect. That's perfect for the 12th Doctor. That's what Capaldi brings to the table. You know, he's not going to
get. He thanks her for exactly the same.
Yeah, he's not going to get really, you know, broken up about it. Or at least not show her that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a great scene. You have the doctor flying off on his own now, and then lo and behold, the show ends, and then after the first couple credits come up, like I feel like I'm in a Marvel movie. There's like a credits scene, which kind of brought back memories of the first introduction of Donna Noble.
In what way?
In what way?
Yeah.
Because the episode where the doctor says goodbye to Rose,
yeah,
he gets in the TARDIS, he's by himself, and then all of a sudden there's this woman there in a wedding dress, and he's like, what?
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
That's kind of what this was like. It was like he's by himself, he just said goodbye, and then all of a sudden there's just this strange, like somebody's knocking on the door, and then he's like, I'm just going to come in, and then it's it's freaking Santa Claus.
Yep. He's here.
So we get Nick Frost, who, you know, we knew was going to be playing Santa Claus. We had heard that he's going to be playing him in the Christmas special, but we get him a little early. You know, it's not the Christmas special yet. We got a little bit of time to wait for that. But he is, you know, we get to see him walk in full costume as Santa Claus.
Well, yeah, I'm interested to see how this is going to play out. I don't know what in the world is going on at that point. Other than, oh my word, they just teased the Christmas special with Santa Claus.
And so we've already had Robin Hood, who we have now found out, you know, is actually a real historical character as far as Doctor Who lore goes. And now all of a sudden we're getting another fictional character of Santa Claus. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, okay, what does this mean? You know, is the Doctor hallucinating? Is there some kind of whatever going on? Who knows? But and Santa Claus just walked in the door. He didn't even need a key.
Nope. He just walked in. It can't end this way.
So, yeah. So we'll get more information once the Christmas special comes out. But they have released a little bit of a trailer, a very short teaser trailer for the Christmas special. And we don't have too much more time. But what were kind of your initial thoughts based on what you saw in the trailer?
I haven't seen the trailer.
You haven't?
What?
There was a trailer.
No.
It played it. Okay,
You
well.
just threw me. You just threw me under the bus.
Well, here's the thing. You had
What's
said
up with
earlier
that?
That you thought that the Christmas special was going to be kind of a continuation of events and not necessarily a standalone, right?
Yeah, from reading stuff.
Okay. Maybe it is. But based on the trailer, it doesn't look like it really ties in with anything that's going on. And even just like you would think, okay, Santa Claus. So maybe they're, you know, they're going to go to the North Pole, or there's going to be elves and reindeer. You know, it's going to be like a magical, fun episode. But no, in the trailer, there's soldiers with guns. There's aliens with slimy mouths. There's creepy, scary, you know, places. It doesn't look like what I thought I would see with a Santa Claus episode.
What?
So, yeah. You'll have to watch the trailer, maybe.
Yeah, maybe my opinions will change. That's but, everything that I was reading was just along the lines of with Clara showing back up. It's not like the Doctor's on his own individual adventure on this one. Like, we will see something with Clara showing back up here, which makes it seem like it's a continuation of something. But I don't know.
I think they're definitely still trying to keep that, you know, idea that she may still be gone, because they didn't show her at all in the trailer. Now, obviously, we know that she's done filming and stuff for the Christmas special, so we know she's going to appear in some way. I kind of hope that she plays a really small part and the Doctor is kind of on his own, because I think this would be like the second time they've kind of given us a false, oh, Claire's leaving the TARDIS. Oh, wait, she's back. You know, I'm ready for
her
to
next
really
episode.
Be gone. So I think it'd be kind of cool. Maybe she, you know, he shows up, you know, to say Merry Christmas to her or whatever, but like not necessarily have her get back on the TARDIS and go through this whole adventure with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does. It looks dark. It looks scary. It looks creepy. But there is Santa Claus. So I'm really curious to see where they go with this one.
Yeah, it's going to be surprising.
But
one last question for you.
Yeah, man.
The Master died.
Yes. Oh, yeah, we totally. Yeah. Okay. So we'll take a couple more minutes on this. Yeah, we totally skipped over that. The Master, you know, the Doctor was going to kill the Master, the Mistress, after basically Clara goads him to do it.
Yeah. Well, Clara was going to do it. So
yeah, Clara was going to do it, and the Doctor's like, well, I'm not going to let you do that, so I'll do it myself. But yeah, he was going to kill her. He literally was going to do it. And then all of a sudden this blue bolt comes out, and she disintegrates because of the Cyberman bullet, which we had already talked about, Brigadier, yes, being that Cyberman. So Brigadier is the one that took out the Master / Mistress.
Saves the Doctor's soul right there.
Right. But I'm not even going out on a limb. I think this is just going to be, you know, they didn't kill. She's not dead.
No?
No. You don't kill off. They're never going to kill off the Daleks. They're never going to kill off the Cybermen. They're never going to kill off the Master. That was just, you know, they're going to explain it away maybe 2-3 seasons from now, or maybe even next season when she comes back, or whatever she regenerates into comes back. But she teleported away. There was some kind of a paradox time shift, you know, whatever. She's back. She'll be back. I mean, it's the Master.
It is something that Moffat even addressed in kind of his commentary on the episode, where he said that he liked the idea of the 1980s Master, where at the end of almost every story that he showed up in, he would die. And then he would just magically show back up in an episode, and his only answer would be, "And I escaped." And Moffat just referred to, like, as someone watching this show, he would just be like, "Oh, okay, that makes perfect sense." And so he's even throwing it out there that Missy, like other Masters, isn't really dead. It's just going to be one of those instances where she's going to show back up, and it's just going to be like, and she escaped. And yeah, we won't even get any explanation as to how or why. It's just, there it is.
Well, I mean, I like how they kind of explained how she even came back in the first place, because of the 50th anniversary events. You know, he saved Gallifrey, so the collateral damage of that was somehow he saved her too. I was okay with that. Vague, you know, give us a vague reason. If she ends up showing back up, or whoever ends up showing back up as the Master, without something, of an explanation as to how the heck she survived getting shot, you know, by a Cyberman. I won't like that if there's not some sort of explanation. We kind of glazed over that pretty big part of the episode. Yeah, the master apparently is dead now.
Yeah. But
for how long, who knows?
Nah.
But yeah, big finale. What did you think overall? Like, were you pretty satisfied with it overall, or was it a bit of a letdown for you?
I've been reading certain things where it's just saying that, like, this entire season has been a letdown. I would disagree with that. Yeah, it had its moments. But I would say that overall, the entire season was really strong, in my opinion. I liked vast majority of the episodes. I enjoyed vast majority of the stories. And the two-part finale, I liked it. Yeah, there were still elements where I wanted them to have a little bit more concrete story portions and how they explain things, but I enjoyed it. It was really fun. I'm really sad to see that the series is already done. We're already on to series 9, and we're going to have all sorts of rumors coming back up. They already have the writers for the stories in place, for the episodes in place. We don't know who they are yet, and it will probably be slowly leaking out. But I give it 2 thumbs way, way up. It surprised me. It did things that I did not expect. I was pleased.
Yeah, overall, I enjoyed it too. I think the emotional moments were the strongest moments for me. I'm not necessarily happy that certain characters are no longer with us, but you know, I think that adds a certain level of drama to an episode when you know characters are not safe. So although I was sad to see certain characters die, it did, you know, by Osgood dying, it really solidified the master for me. You know, yeah. Something like that. So it worked. The Cybermen, like I said earlier, whatever. I've never been one of my favorite villains, and I didn't really find them that threatening. But overall, I did actually really enjoy this episode, and more for the emotional moments between Clara and the Doctor and Danny Pink. Some of the stuff with the Master Mistress I thought was great. So yeah, I thought it was a good finale. I think Capaldi, in my book, had a great first season, and yeah. He really solidified himself to me as the Doctor. He is different than doctors that we've had before, but that's good. And I really liked him, and I'm really happy to know that, you know, season 9 is still Capaldi, and you know, it'll be good to see him maybe with a different companion, but to see him, you know, do another full season. I really like him a lot.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what they have in store for companions.
But yeah, so hey man, season 8 behind us. We are moving
on. That's a wrap.
We're moving on to the Christmas special. We'll probably take I would say at least a week off, if not more, from the show. But we will, I'm guessing, am I right on this, Adam? We'll record at least one more episode before the Christmas special review.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. I would love to.
I think
we give it a little bit of time. We might have a little bit of tie up for what we've just seen, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out here soon for not only the Christmas special, but even next season.
Yeah. So we're definitely gonna do a Christmas special review episode, but we might do one or two episodes between now and then. Who knows what we'll talk about? News. Maybe we'll jump back and talk about some classic Doctor stuff, but stay tuned. Bad Wolf Radio. Also, we might have some news as far as just the show in general and kind of moving to a bigger pond. So we'll see when we can start to announce things like that. But for now, if you enjoy our show, leave us a review on iTunes. Head on over there. Leave us a 5-star review. That'd be awesome. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast. Facebook, we're Bad Wolf Radio. Search for us up in that search bar. If you get more than one result, we're the one with the black and white logo. And you can send us feedback. As always, shoot us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And we would love to hear from you. And until next time,
later, day.